the latest Harry Potter novel, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, hitting bookstores this week. I'm joined by pediatrician Kenneth Holler, who's on the line to talk about the J.K. Rowling series and how he thinks it can be used to broach touchy subjects with children. We'll also discuss why some would like to ban Harry Potter. Also, how young is too young? When is it appropriate to talk to young children about current events like last week's bombing in Britain and conflict in Iraq and elsewhere? Kenneth Holler is Assistant Professor of Pediatrics at St. Louis University and a pediatrician at Cardinal Glennon Children's Hospital in St. Louis, Missouri, where he joins me this morning. Please welcome to the commentary.ca, Kenneth Holler. Good morning, Dr. Holler.
Glad to be here.
Thanks for joining us. For the uninitiated, for the ignorant, a pediatrician cares for children from birth to how old?
Generally from birth to about 18, although there are some pediatricians who see younger kids, some see only adolescents, and sometimes when kids have particular problems, they may stay into their 20s, but generally about 18 is when we encourage them to see internists, and by that point most people don't want to come to an office that has Barney and the Smurfs on the walls.
Right. From your experience, from the children that you see or that you care for or that you see, you know, anywhere in, mm-hmm. in life, is it appropriate, do you think, to shield them from images like that which we saw last week from the bombing in Britain?
Well, the thing is, it depends on how young a kid is, and unfortunately, or, you know, whatever, one of the realities is that kids are going to see these images pretty much anywhere. The images of the bombings in Britain and so forth are pretty ubiquitous, and kids will often see TV news, see newspapers, see things on the Internet, and will have questions about them. So it's not so much a matter of shielding kids, because kids are generally going to be exposed to this in one place or another, but how parents need to respond to this and talk to kids about it, that's what's really important.
Now, from what I've read, is it necessary, do you think, then, to ration how much time children should spend in front of the television?
Oh, I think that's very important. Here in the U.S., the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends that kids spend no more than 1 to 2 hours of screen time per day, and that's a combination of television, computers with Internet access, and video games, and that parents really know what their kids are watching and participate in watching with them as much as possible. The thing is that if kids are given unfettered access to TV, there is a likelihood that they're going to encounter things that will be difficult for them to deal with, that they may have questions about, and parents really want to have some idea of what the content is of the TV that their kids are watching so that they can really help to shape their children's perceptions of it and their reactions to it.
Now, if shielding is impossible and these images are available in the newspapers, on television and the sort, is it appropriate to bring these issues up and start the discussion with children? And
oh, yeah,
at what age is it?
I think that the thing is that kids will often have questions about these things and may not even know how to ask those questions. So if you happen to be watching the news and see these images with your kids, it's a good idea to say, what do you think about that, or how does that make you feel? Because kids may just have sort of a general unease about it and not quite know where that's coming from, but having a parent, first of all, recognize that there is some turmoil going on in the child and that they want to talk about it is in itself very comforting for a child.
And did you go out of your way to discuss things like in September 11th or images of death and destruction in Iraq and elsewhere? Or?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. The thing is that kids' concerns about these things will generally be for their own safety and the safety of their parents. And when kids see these images of people who are getting hurt, whether it's in London or Iraq or during 9/11, the unspoken question often is this going to happen to me, or is this going to happen to mommy or daddy? So it's a really good idea to sit down with kids and say, you know, what did you think of that? How are you feeling about it? And then also to say that this is a terrible thing that's going on, but the chances of that happening to you or to any one of us is very, very low. And I also want you to know that I'm going to be here to do everything I can to protect you against that sort of thing. And again, as horrible as these things are, the chances of it happening to any individual are so exceedingly low that assuring kids that you're going to be there to take care of them is, for the most part, a very realistic expectation that you can give children, and it will be very comforting to them.
From your experience, are children of this generation, are they more equipped or well-equipped than previous ones in terms of dealing with these emotional issues?
Well, I think that that while the media have evolved and society's evolved, basic human emotions haven't a whole lot. And so kids do get exposed to things a lot more quickly than they used to when I was a kid. And so I think the parents really need to be vigilant about what kids are getting exposed to and really try, you know, to empathize with them. Think back to when they were kids and you know, if they saw images of mayhem on television, you know, how they felt about it. So the thing is, I don't know the kids are necessarily more equipped to handle it, but I think what is important is that since we do have a generation of parents who were raised on television, they know what their reactions are to it, and they, you know, may be more equipped to start that discussion with their kids so that kids don't have undue anxiety about things they might see on television.
Well, let's move on to Harry Potter then.
Sure.
If a Martian came down to Earth today, how would you explain the context of this, the popularity of Harry Potter? Is it as popular as it seems that children are reading more because of it?
Oh, I think that's definitely true. I think that kids around the world are just really enamored of the series, and I think there are a lot of good reasons for that. First of all, the Harry Potter series does tell a really archetypal coming-of-age story. This is about a kid who is misunderstood by his, in this case not his parents, but by his parents' surrogates, who discovers he has powers that are unusual and unique, and has to deal with that and the moral dilemmas that result from that. I think that every kid has always thought at some point or another, I don't know how I got to be part of this family, and my real parents are somewhere else. And this kind of plays into that fantasy, which is, on some level, just a very normal thing that kids go through. So it does help them with that. And one of the things that is a normal part of coming of age is discovering new talents and new abilities about oneself. Now, usually it isn't the ability to fly a broom or use a magic wand, but the thing is that for kids, this process of discovery is very important, and the Harry Potter series really has some very, you know, very realistic three-dimensional characters that kids can identify with, you know, and who are going through struggles that any teenager is going through, even though it's in a magical context.
Now, I'm sure kids are reading the Harry Potter series and getting the fantasy and the entertainment out of it. Mm-hmm. Are they getting these touchy issues that you've talked about, these issues of discovery and maturity?
Oh, I think so. And one of the things that I think has been very purposeful about how this series has been written is that it really does follow the kids' development in a way that makes sense developmentally. The first book really did, you know, Harry was an 11-year-old, and he acted like an 11-year-old. He was very much a tween sort of kid. Now that he's gotten to be 15, 16 years old, he's acting like a teenager, which means he's more rebellious, more petulant, more moody, and he doesn't so much feel like a victim as much as he is sometimes finding himself to be, you know, a perpetrator of the things that go on, and this is the kind of struggle that any kid has to go through. He's also, of course, dealing with very, very profound and basic questions of good and evil and what choices he needs to make in life. And these are questions that every kid needs to deal with. So even though it is in a context that is fantastical, it's also really gets down to the sorts of struggles that any teenager is going to go through. And that's something that parents can really sort of capitalize on by, you know, if they read the book, they can talk to their kids about what Harry and Hermione and Ron are going through and what struggles they're encountering. And the kids can talk about that stuff with their parents and have and those discussions can really be surrogates for discussions about what's really going on in the lives of the teenagers themselves.
Can we be so bold to say that a generation of readers have been influenced by this book?
Oh, I'd say so, and it would be unfortunate if all they read was Harry Potter, as well written as the books are. If that's all they read, it wouldn't have much of an effect. But it does seem to be having an effect of bringing kids back to reading in general and exploring other books. And frankly, I think that's one thing that, that parents really can capitalize on also. Since we're up to the sixth book and the seventh is probably going to take a couple of years to come out, if parents read this book at the same time as their kids and discuss it with them, this may be the beginning of, say, a family book club where the kids can suggest a book 1 month and then the parents suggest a book the next month. And people can really go back and forth about the issues of being teenagers, being adults, and discuss what goes on in these books from both a literary and an emotional context.
I was watching conservative television last night, MSNBC's Scarborough Country, and they were talking. He had a guest on that was talking about banning Harry Potter. That it goes against the Bible's teaching in terms of its portrayal of death, evil, and hatred. That it was unfair that it promotes witchcraft, and you can read that in schools, yet you can't read the Bible in schools. Your reaction to that sort of criticism about the books?
Well, I think that there is. I haven't found anything in the book that makes me feel that it is in any way anti-Christian, and as someone who works at a Catholic university, I think that's something that I would be sensitive to. The thing is that all fantasy involves things that are outside the normal realm, going back to Beowulf. So the idea of banning Harry Potter, you might as well ban half of Shakespeare and Star Trek, for that matter. No one seems to have any trouble with these sorts of things, and I think that people who are saying these kind of things are just really rather self-serving and are just trying to get publicity for themselves. The thing is that books like this, going back to Greek myths, to Shakespeare, things like this are allegories, and that by going outside of the realm of normal existence, we can really look into ourselves and see what forces are working inside of us. And, you know, things like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, I know one of my colleagues here on the faculty used to watch that every week with her teenage daughter, and they used to have really good discussions about what Buffy was going through because what Buffy and Willow and everyone on that show who had superpowers were going through really were external manifestations of the struggles that every teenager goes through. They were just presented in a different way that frankly makes it much safer to discuss between parents and kids.
Now, the opposite of the person who's pro-Christian, I guess, on that program said that Harry Potter was an accurate portrayal of childhood in terms of portraying lying, cheating, and stealing. Mm-hmm. Is that accurate?
I think that's very, very true. I mean, what goes on in the book is that when Harry and his friends get to Hogwarts, even there, in this place where they are most allowed to be themselves, they often find themselves misunderstood and have to work outside the system in order to find out the truth about Sirius Black, for example, to find out that, you know, he really is a good person rather than this evil person as he'd been portrayed throughout the series of books. And that was something that they felt they really couldn't discuss with adults. And this is actually a really good thing for parents to read about, that sometimes kids, when they're acting out in ways that might seem antisocial, are really sort of playing out some of the struggles that they need to in ways that they can't with the adults. One of the most important psychological and developmental milestones that kids need to deal with in adolescence is the fact that the peer group becomes much more important than the parents. And I think the Harry Potter books are a really good example of that, that Harry has a much closer relationship with Hermione and Ron than he does with, Dumbledore and the people who are really on his side at Hogwarts. And that's what he has to do. He has to break away from adult authority and put himself out in the world of good and evil so that he can really make moral choices as a free moral agent. And I think one of the important lessons for adults in the book is to help them remember what it was like to be a teenager and have to go through those things themselves so that they can see when their kids are doing it, you know, currently, it's nothing personal. It's just a thing the kids do that they have to do, and that if parents can be there to support them when they fall, that's going to be the most important thing they can do.
We're talking with Dr. Kenneth Holler from Cardinal Glennon Children's Hospital in St. Louis. He's also an assistant professor of pediatrics at St. Louis University. Finally, Dr. Holler, I'd like to ask about, this builds from the Harry Potter questions. It deals with adult situations. and it's not patronizing to children. Mm-hmm. So in terms of just dealing with children generally, whether you're in a store or their family, is it appropriate then not to talk to children as if they were babies and talk to them as they are little people?
Well, I think that, of course, that depends on how old the kid is. If, you know, if a child is 5 or 6 years old, they're probably too young to even read the first book. I would say that probably, as a general rule of thumb, it's a good idea to allow kids to read the books who are maybe about 3 years younger than the age of the characters in the books. So maybe 8-year-olds would be appropriate for reading the first book, but by the time we get now to book 6, it may be 12 or 13-year-olds who would be appropriate for that. But the thing is, you don't want to treat kids as little adults because they're not, developmentally they're not, but you do want to treat them with respect. You want to treat them as people who have an independent perception of the world. Adults don't want to really say, this is what you should think, this is how you should act. You really want to listen to them, because sometimes you'll be surprised at the insights they have because they're coming from a very different place. Now, once you listen to your child, then you can say, well, you know, I think that makes sense, but here's how I feel about that, and here's what, you know, here's how I think you should act in the world. So it really is a negotiation of listening to your child's perceptions. You know, there's that old joke about the child who says, Mom, Dad, where did I come from? And that's when the parents take a deep breath and they launch into a very serious discussion about the birds and the bees and being in Mommy's tummy and all that kind of stuff. And then when they're done, they finally said, why do you ask? And they said, well, Bobby's from Cincinnati and I want to know where I come from. So really getting to the bottom of why a child is asking a question or why they're bringing things up can be a really good way to find out what answer they're really looking for and what kind of information they're really looking for. And so listening to children is just as important as speaking to them and letting them know what you're thinking.
Dr. Holler, it's been fascinating speaking with you today, and I thank you very much for taking the time to talk with us today.
Well, it's been my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Dr. Kenneth Holler, Assistant Professor of Pediatrics at St. Louis University and a pediatrician at Cardinal Glennon Children's Hospital in St. Louis, Missouri. For the commentary, I'm Joseph Plano.